The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Speaking of your half-naked pictures, your quads, bro.
Yeah, you like that?
I have to say, dude, I'm going to have to step it up a little bit.
Bro, that before and after is a little dramatic.
It's going to take a little bit extra from me, I think, to get those suckers.
I don't think you're going to win this one.
You know, I like you underestimating me. I do. I have to say that.
Bro, so what happened was I went to go put my jeans on. They didn't fucking fit. So I took a picture of my legs and I said, yeah, they look bigger. But unless you look at the contrast, you know, from before and after, you can't really tell.
Oh, yeah.
I posted it on my Instagram page. The before and after looks silly. I must have gained at least 2 inches on my legs.
So I'm reading it and I have to tell you, you know, this is what you're experiencing with your quads is what I experienced with my calves. Like, although by no means are my calves big, but I got the most growth from it when we started occluding.
Occlusion.
Yeah.
It's a game changer because that's all I did. Because I always work out. It's not like I don't work out my legs. I work them out. I do, you know, I squat at least twice a week and I deadlift once a week. And all I did was I pushed it a little harder with my squat workouts. Now, to be fair, if you look at the pictures, I did lose some definition. That's not because of occlusion. I did gain a little bit of weight. I've been kind of eating in a surplus. So I did feed myself a little more. But the only thing that I really changed in my training was I've done occlusion. In 3 weeks, my fucking legs exploded. Like, they blew up. Now, my legs grow fast anyway. But on top of when I added the occlusion, they just blew up. And this is the experience I've had with every body part I've done this to. On my arms, I gained about 1/4 inch so far since I've occluded, which for me...
From 12 and a quarter to 12 and a half?
Yeah. I got big arms, bitch.
12.
That's what my mom says. No, they grew 1/4 inch, which for me is a big deal because, you know, if you've been training for a long time, adding even just the smallest amount.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Occlusion is a game changer, but if you do it wrong, it not only will it not do anything for you, you might hurt yourself.
Yeah, it's a good thing you don't have small arms, dude, because then the whole Kermit thing would, like, go full circle.
If you did have skinny arms, dude.
It's not easy having small arms.
But you fill out that medium pretty good. So where do we find this occlusion?
Mindpumpradio.com. Click on the blue button.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Here we are now.
Here we are.
Entertain us. I wanna. Saginawa.
All right, so guys, we need to book a weekend or something where we can get away and just work. You know what I'm saying? I know we had that kind of booked. This weekend. You want to tell you what happened?
Let's talk about who blew that one. Yeah.
So we were trying to book. Hello. So just so the listeners can catch up here, we were booking some time or taking some time off, excuse me, to go and just work on Mind Pump, work on programs, just get no distractions, like 2 or 3 days just, you know, working. We're not going anywhere to party, nothing.
That's what we're telling the wives and the girlfriend.
Right. All right. So
good one, Adam.
Yeah,
thanks.
No, it's true. It's true. No, it's true. We were gonna work. So I go home, right? Because we had it all set up, and I'm like, "Hey, honey," to my wife. I'm like, "Hey, so next weekend, me and the guys, we gotta get some work done because we only see each other for about 5 to 6 hours max during the week. So we're gonna go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we're gonna just work this whole time, and it's gonna be awesome. We're gonna get so many things done." And she's "Oh, you mean on my birthday?" So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, how'd you get out of that one?
So here's
the record stops.
Yeah, so here's what happens in my head, right? So in my mind, I'm like, okay, I got two options here. Option one is apologize and be like, oh, fuck, you know, oh, you're right, honey, I forgot your birthday, of course.
Oh, that's not a good option.
Which is which sucks. But for some reason, I picked option number two, which is worse.
No, you're smoother. I know you got that option.
No, option number two. So the problem is we were kind of like, I was kind of irritated. I don't remember what was irritating me to begin with. So I went with option two, which is double down.
No, you never doubled down.
So I doubled down. So I'm like, well, honey, you know, I'm like, we went to San Diego with the kids already.
Oh,
we went
didn't.
To Napa. I'm like, we spent a lot of time together. I was going to do it another weekend. We can hang out for your birthday or whatever. Oh, yeah.
Oops.
That was bad.
I thought double down was going to be like,
that was
well,
bad.
Honey, I was actually thinking you could come with us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know. No, it was bad. So she's like, okay, so we'll just fucking celebrate Christmas on your birthday or your birthday on Christmas and just, you know, mix them all together since it's all. So I had to apologize. And so, yeah, I can't go with you guys. So we're going to have to think of a different weekend.
Oh, Salvador. Geez.
I know. So idiot.
Talking of funny stories, I got one for you guys that I literally died laughing when my cousin told me the story. So my cousin tells me, I've got this great story to tell you about Bentley and Mozzie. So Bentley and Maserati are my two dogs. I have two English bulldogs for those of you guys that don't know. So let me preface this a little bit by kind of letting you know their personalities. It's a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old bulldog. If you ever had a bulldog, they're very stubborn. They're full of personality. Bentley, the oldest, is super stubborn. If he decides he's going to do something, there ain't shit you're doing about it. And he's strong as shit. He's about 75 solid pounds and you're not moving him or changing his mind. Mozzie is the biggest pussy. He looks tough, but if you raise your voice to him, he takes off running and he freaks out. He's totally gets totally scared. He runs into the bed. And if you yell at him or even raise a hand like you're going to spank him or whoop him, he pees himself.
Oh my God.
So if someone else were to come over and they would yell at my dog, they would think that I beat my freaking little dog, you know? So which yeah. is really sad. So that being said, my cousin is the one who a lot of times will come house sit for me when I leave town. And he house sits and takes care of the dogs. Now, when I walk my dogs every single day, and they're in my neighborhood. If you walk behind the houses, it's kind of like this dirt field area where I've trained my dogs to shit, which takes about 15 to 25 seconds to get to that backside for the, and they are trained. As soon as they walk out, they know that we get around the corner and that's where they shit. Cause I don't want to pick the shit up and I don't want them shitting on somebody's lawn. So I've trained them to shit there. Right.
Is there just a pile of shit back there now?
Yeah, kind of. But then the people that clean the highways up, they come through and they do some shit there. So
it's really good for the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fertilizer, like whatever. You know what? A little side note on the whole dog picking up shit thing. That's something that's happened in the last 10 years. 20 years ago, we didn't pick shit up from dogs.
No, I know.
There was no signs and laws and crazy stuff.
Your dog shit and you left it there.
Poop fairy.
Yeah. It wasn't like trash. You know what I'm saying? That shit turns into fertilizer. It's good for the earth. So, but no, that's changed. So, and I get it. I respect that. If my dog shits on the sidewalk, my dog shits on your yard.
And if you're a human and you shit on the sidewalk, all of a sudden you go to jail.
I mean, it's like this big deal.
Such a big deal.
God,
right?
Everybody trips out of everything.
Ooh, I stepped in.
It's natural. God.
It happens.
All right, anyway, go ahead.
So, I've trained these dogs to go back there and do that. So my lazy ass doesn't have to pick the shit up. Well, it's not like I tell this to my cousin. It doesn't even dawn on me that I should probably tell him, like, hey, walk the dogs this direction and not the other direction into the neighborhood. Because if you walk into the neighborhood, come 35 seconds or so, my dog's going to be ready to shit. And if you didn't bring the stuff to pick him up, they're shitting on somebody's lawn. So my cousin is...
And bulldogs make big shit.
They do. And they're funny when they shit, too, the way they do. Yeah. It's pretty hilarious. So he starts walking him. He takes a right instead of a left. And he's walking Bentley and Mozzie, and sure as shit, within about the 6th house down, Bentley decides he's going to take a shit on this guy's lawn. And the worst part is the dude is outside cleaning his car. So the dude is outside cleaning his car, and then Bentley starts to squat down to take a shit. Now, luckily, the guy cleaning his car, he has this black Civic. He's left the door open, and he ran back inside his house to get something else. He's vacuuming the inside of it, and he probably went to go get something to clean it, right?
Luckily.
So he's left in the house. Bentley's squatting down shitting. My cousin's freaking out. So he's like pulling on the leash. Bentley is not moving while he's taking a shit. Well, while he's pulling on the leash, he pulls Mozzie so hard that Mozzie has a big ass freaking neck and a small head. So my cousin, like a dummy, has not got him on the harness. He's got him on the collar. And so the collar comes right off his head. And he freaks out because the collar pops off and he goes, shit, Mozzie. And he yells at Mozzie. So Mozzie takes off running and jumps in the guy's car. And so my cousin he freaks out. He leaves Bentley, who's shitting on the guy's lawn. He goes running after Mozzie. Mozzie hops in the guy's car. Then he jumps on the other side of the guy's car while he's trying to get him out of the car. He's trying to keep away from my cousin inside the car while the guy just cleaned it. He's got dog hair all over his car.
Oh my God.
My cousin finally scoops up Mozzie, right? He gets Mozzie scooped up.
up, gets the leash back on him, all while before this guy even gets out. Well, the mailman is pulling up at the same time and sees my cousin struggling with these dogs and everything like that and is laughing. And he comes walking up and he tries to hand the mail to my cousin. My cousin's like, I don't live here. The mailman dies laughing, and then my cousin scurries off as fast as he possibly can.
Bro, your dogs just gangstered your neighbor.
Oh, yeah. My
one dog shit on his lawn. The other one ran off in his car.
So this poor dude,
your dogs are like Rick James.
You just gave him an aneurysm.
They're like Rick James. Fuck your couch.
Remember this that? Poor guy, right? He probably walks, he steps in his house for probably 90 seconds. He comes out, there's dog hair in his car, and there's a shit on his lawn. I thought my cousin told me that story, and I know their personality so well. So I'm like, I could totally see how that went down, because that's exactly how Mozzie, if you yelled at Mozzie, he would run, but he's not dumb enough to run into the street or run away from you, because the bulldogs have this, they want to be close to you no matter. So like, if I ever want my dogs to come, they're being stubborn,
just walk away.
Walk away. Yeah. And they'll come following me. They will only allow themselves to be so far away.
Kids are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids are like that. Sometimes I'll leave my kids somewhere and they just, poof, they follow me.
You know what I mean? Like a Target.
I'm like, oh, look, you followed me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Go check out those toys. Peace out.
You're a terrible father, dude.
Stay in the car. Yeah. Here's some cold water. No, never.
So this is obviously a little off topic, but I know at one point we actually have to talk about fitness. So
is that where we're going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, fuck. Yeah. Yeah. We're moving on.
Oh, real quick. Real quick.
Dog shit.
Before you do that, before you talk about fitness, I'll talk about one more random thing. Real quick, 2 minutes. My daughter, I'm giving them dinner tonight, and I'm like, honey, do you want the rice first? I made rice and tri-tip. You want rice first? She goes, no, give me the meat so I can be a beast. This is my 5-year-old daughter.
Beast.
So I got to be careful what I say around her. Yeah. Apparently.
You anyway, think?
Yeah. Because like, I want to be a beast.
I want to be a beast.
So I've been getting a lot of people, and I guess obviously we have now a ton of episodes. So a lot of things we briefly touched on it. And I feel like because we talked about it, we feel like, oh, we talked about it enough. But I kind of feel like there's some really important topics that we probably should revisit, because I've gotten a lot of questions. And then probably the first time or second time, I'm like, oh, yeah, we talked about that already. And I can't remember what episode it is. And I try to scroll through and find it. I'm like, I can't find this. And a couple questions I've had lately were referring to the elevation mask, rock tape.
Again?
And belts. Yeah, these are things that, I know you say again, but then I was thinking, do you know what episode that was? I was looking through to try and find what episode that is.
And I'm like, we've just referenced it probably like two or three times.
And that's what I think. I think that we've kind of referenced it and talked about it. And I think it's important because it's becoming just like the goddamn squeeze.
I saw someone.
Like, seriously, like, why is that taking more steam? I thought that was a dying trend.
I saw someone in the mask today.
Yeah.
It's really?
I saw someone in
the
mask today.
The mask and the squeam and rock tape, those three. And I feel like we should talk about all three of
those.
Well,
why don't we start with rock tape? Because I might be a little different than you guys on my opinion on rock tape.
I don't know. I might too.
You really?
Yeah. Oh. Try me.
Fine then.
Let's hear it.
Well, so here's the thing. Fine. So when I first saw rock tape, I'm like, well, that's stupid because it's not really giving you any support or stability. But I kind of understand the science now. And let me give you guys an example of what I'm talking about as trainers, okay? You ever have a client that you're of course you have, but you've had clients where you're training them and you're training them to get them to move a certain way. Mm-hmm. And simply by touching them in the area you want them to flex or whatever with your finger, all of a sudden
exterior
they can.
Exterior stimulus, yeah.
That stimulus from the outside. Like I'm trying to get someone to pull their shoulder blades back. All I have to do is put my finger in the middle of the back and say, squeeze here. And all of a sudden they can do it.
Yeah.
Rock tape works, I believe, along those same lines in the sense that it creates this tactile kind of this feeling on the skin, and it's reminding you to position yourself in a certain way. Not that it's creating support, but it's giving your body neural feedback through touch, through skin with the actual tape. So when you stretch the tape out and it's, for example, let's say I'm supporting my ankle, or let's say my back. Let's say I do want to pull my shoulders back. I can put tape across my shoulder blades, pulling the skin together there. It's not going to, you know, it's obviously not attached to my scapula. It's not going to pull the shoulder blades back, but it might remind me to keep my shoulder blades back.
That's so interesting because, another version of that. So I was also told that, like, you can, if you have an overactive muscle, let's say, like, you can tape in such a way that you connect to other muscles by taping around it and basically activating, creating a new sort of recruitment pattern. And I haven't actually taped in that sense, although I have actually taped to help aid in my lower back when I.
So you've
my,
used it?
Yeah.
And what have you noticed? QL.
You know, it really did help me as far as just feel somewhat supported. And I don't know about the other theory with that as far as like allowing more circulation and blood flow by lifting the skin up a little bit and some of the dermis, but I don't know. That was something that was told to me, but I want to
stop both of you.
It
right
did
now.
Help a little bit in the recovery.
I want to stop both of you right now. And I just want to, I want our listeners to pay attention real quick. this is a perfect example. And this is why we do this radio show. As you heard Sal and Justin talk, we could take something completely stupid and make it sound very, very cool and educated by pointing out some very, very good facts and points about it. And that's, I think, the issue with so many things that are out there is you take a couple smart guys like Sal or Justin or myself, and we can put a positive spin on anything and sell the shit out of it. And that is the problem with the fitness market. Now, that being said.
Great point.
Okay. That being said. I am with you guys on the points that you made about rock tape. Now, the problem I have with it is 99.9% of those, the people that are wearing the fucking rock tape did not get it put on by someone as smart as the two motherfuckers sitting next to me or a chiropractor or somebody. Now, there are some chiropractors that do that and set them up and probably know what the fuck they're doing in order to really help those
people. It also looks cool, right? And it comes in different colors.
Yeah.
It comes in different colors, and you could tape up your body and be like, I'm an athlete.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that's a lot of the reason why people will wear it.
And that's why I put the 99.9%.
That's the ridiculous douchebaggy thing.
And that's the issue that I have with this fucking rock tape. And it's like, you know, it's like the belt thing to me. There is a place for weight belts. Do I think there is a place for rock tape that can enhance performance for some athletes or for some people? Absolutely. I believe that.
What percentage? Let me ask you guys this: what percentage of the people that are working out in gyms should or would benefit from using rock tape?
Less than 1%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very small percentage. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's be. You know, that's the thing here. Now,
but if you're in a CrossFit facility, probably more than that.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody
need
needs the rock tape.
You need it everywhere.
You need it. You need
every single joint. Yeah. You need all over your face. You need to hide your shit.
Hide your face. Yeah. You don't want nobody to know what you're doing.
But I mean, do you guys agree or not? I mean, I believe that like things like this, and that is the problem with our industry, is they catch something, and what a perfect thing to make trendy, some cheap ass tape, because you're gonna have to keep buying rolls.
Well, it started out as like KT tape, and the thing is the adhesion of that was shitty, and so it would like. It would peel up because I used that before rock tape ever existed.
Yeah, it's been around in physical therapy.
It's just, you know, it was just another way that they could.
What was
help
that? Kinesio
tape. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just that rock tape stays on there for like 3 or 4 days. Yeah. You shower with it and everything.
My best friend is a physical therapist, and
I'm gonna tape your butt cheeks together.
and he used to tape my ankle.
No entry zone
when we used to play ball because I had rolled my ankle and I had a really bad sprain, and so he would give me the extra support by taping me up. And you know, it's something that I had him do because he's a perfect. The way he tapes my ankle and the way I tape my own ankle is night and day difference. I can feel a significant difference.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it's athletic training. Like when I used to go, well, I actually would make fun of everybody in there because I thought they're all a bunch of pussies, but. Before practice, you'd see all these guys like getting taped up, and like they had to. And I'm like, you don't have to get taped.
You know what
up
though? It's better than the freaking. You ever watch soccer? And somebody will fall down. What is that cold air they spray on everything? Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Don't get well, they'll fall down. The soccer players,
and it's like just like cold air comes out, and you can see it looks like a cloud of I don't know what.
Did
the fuck
I ever
it is.
Tell you I did an internship with athletic training, and so I had to actually work with like different teams. And dude, don't get me started on soccer players. Okay.
No.
Biggest pussies on the planet.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Way to offend all our soccer players.
I'm sorry.
You know, I have to disagree, man. Soccer is a freaking bad. I think it's don't rock your head.
No,
it's a badass sport, man.
No.
I'm just talking about in professional soccer. They fall down. It's part of the game because they got to try and get the referee to come over and, you know, get a yellow card or whatever. And then their trainer's got to come out and make it look like they're doing something. So they spray cold air on their fucking ankle or whatever. And all of a sudden they're fucking healed. And you can see it's like a cloud. Looks like dry ice. It's like, And then they come up with like, my knee is better now.
It's probably nitrogen. It's probably the whole, just like the cryotherapy concept and probably exactly what
it is. But they fall down like they're like they've literally and just like torn really their leg off.
And that's going to do something.
Yeah. And then they get up and like, and I'm good. Like,
yeah. Jump back at it.
Yeah.
Dude, when I was a kid, I was like, that's magic. I want that. What is it?
Yeah.
It's cold air.
So unless you're a physical therapist or a pretty advanced personal trainer, you know, or have either or those people, you know, or a chiropractor, rock taping you up, it's probably pretty pointless.
If you had to rank all the things that you should do to help yourself with an injury or some kind of chronic pain, rock tape is near the bottom. You have correctional exercise, myofascial release, stretching, massage, chiropractic, you know, and then way down the bottom of the list, rock tape. There's so many other things you could do to help yourself when you have, you know, aches and pains and stuff. Yeah. So
that whole rice.
But I get it because, you know, it, in the defense of it, you know, and I know I ragged on it first, but, you know, in the defense of it, it's a real similar concept or reason why you would wear it as why, you know, I joked about using my wraps for, you know, deadlifting because of my golfer's elbow. I'm crutching an issue. I have an issue. I'm too lazy to spend the time rehab. too lazy to spend the time doing corrective work like I should.
You know what I like? I did that episode with Jesse when you were here talking about wrist wraps. The post he did on Instagram.
Yeah, you like the post, the follow up.
He's like, so here I am deadlifting.
I gotta explain myself.
But you know, normally I use wrist wraps because you see, I'm such a badass.
Dude, you talk shit and say that, Dad, but I always put it out there. Like, this is, there's a reason. There's a reason behind all that stuff, you know. And I don't believe in using aids or crutches like that unless you absolutely need it or you have an issue. And you know, and I'm willing to admit, like, I do not spend the time now taking care of myself like I used to. The good trainer in me 3 years ago would, you know, take a week off or, you know, let the inflammation come down or rehab myself or do corrective work. Instead, the stubborn competitor in me right now just keeps pushing through and, you know, or crutching it with using rock tape or wrist wraps.
Yeah,
you know,
like I was saying earlier today, I was lifting over at Gold's and there's a dude with an elevation mask and he doesn't really look like he works out, skinny kid. And he's just doing straight sets on like back machine.
Oh, he's lifting.
He's lifting with an elevation mask and he's doing like straight sets, like, you know, 10 reps, rest, 10 reps, rest. So, you know, here's the theory behind elevation masks. They limit, they impede your breathing so that supposedly you get less oxygen. Your body tries to adapt by producing more red blood cells. Boom, you have more endurance. That's where their theory behind elevation masks goes. If that's true, when you're using an elevation mask, you'll really benefit mostly from using it with stuff that's training your VO2 max or your cardio, not lifting weights or maybe a circuit, but not like straight set, you know, rest, straight set, rest. So the kid obviously got the wrong impression with it. That being said,
what did he look like?
I'm telling you, he didn't even look like he lifted. He was just some normal, like, he looked like a 17-year-old kid.
That's where I just have the biggest problem. If it was like a serious athlete or, yeah, an MMA fighter or somebody that was like doing extreme cardio.
Exactly, because it's going to give you, if it does work, it might give you point, you know, something percent benefit, which is important if you're a high-level athlete because that could be the difference between winning and losing.
Every little bit of performance is an aid.
Exactly.
Right,
but if you're an 18-year-old and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to go from 14-inch arms to 15-inch arms, you're, you know, go take some creatine, eat more food and lift weights.
Calm down with all the gimmicks.
Well, exactly.
One of my members who is getting ready for one of those not a muddy buddy thing, but one of those, what are they called?
Muddy buddy?
Barebacking?
Yeah. Tough muddy. Yeah. One of those tough.
Whoa.
There really is a muddy buddy run. Just
whoa.
So you know.
Every time I bareback.
So he's
become actually muddy meant buddy. Broke back, but it came out bareback. I don't know. Something's happening tonight.
Muddy buddy.
Who laced my drink?
Jesus Christ.
I feel like I was mean to soccer players too.
Oh well.
Sorry guys.
That was almost apology right
I actually
there.
Really enjoy women's soccer. It's
wow.
Very awesome. You're awesome
just,
to,
dude, just,
to
dude,
watch
dude.
And
dude.
No, what's funny is I used to play, you know,
women's
like growing
soccer.
Up. No, yeah, women's soccer. And it was fun. It was cute. It was,
oh my God.
It was good.
Your foot is just going
to I know. I just got you just stop oh, you right wow. there, bro. Stop you right
for
there.
For the record, for the record, I'm a big fan of soccer.
Yeah. I like rugby. So
I played for 7 years of my That's life.
What you played soccer?
Yeah, for 7 years.
Were you goalie?
No.
You're so tall.
I was a forward.
Forward? No, you weren't. You yeah. were a fullback, weren't you?
Yeah, no, I was a forward.
Really?
I played sweeper for a little while too, but I was primarily a forward for most. I was actually remember I was a short, fast kid when I was younger. I was 5'3" as a sophomore in high school. I didn't sprout up.
Holy shit.
Yeah, 5'3". I was point guard. I played point guard.
And then all of a sudden you just got tall.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's funny. That's like what that was me, dude. Like yeah. I played forward. I played, you know, mm-hmm. middle and whatever you call it. And then I was point guard. And then I put on all this weight, you know, from football, and then everything changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually soccer was my first love. When I went through my growth spurt, it fucked me up in the sport. Mm-hmm. I being a forward and used to being this quick, agile.
So did you gain like 10 inches of height in like 3 years or something?
Yeah, about, let's see, not 10 inches. I went 5'3 to 6. I probably graduated high school at 6'6", 6'1". So 5'3 up to 6 foot.
Wow. In just 2 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sprouted.
Yeah. So, and that growth spurt helped me in basketball. I became a better basketball player.
Of course.
But I became a worse soccer player. And soccer, like I said, was my first love. I was really good. I was really good in soccer. And I had plans to play in that all the way through high school. But then I literally went from being somebody who thought he was really, really good to not so good at all. You know, like I went from being a starter and scoring all the goals to a guy that was coming off the bench. And that was weird.
Were you short and skinny or short and fat?
I was short and skinny.
So you went from short and skinny to tall and skinny. Mm-hmm. Well, at least you got tall.
Yeah, yeah. No, it helped out for basketball.
Yeah. Because, you know, if you went from short and fat to tall and skinny, it's kind of a win, you know? I mean, you still won, you know what I mean? But it wasn't as much of a win as if you were a fat, short kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Muddy Buddy.
Yeah, back
muddy
to...
Muddy
back
Buddy. Barebacking.
Back to... tough
Let's get
mutter.
On the pony. Come on.
Back to Tough Mutter and the question that somebody had, the real serious question they asked me. It came up to me after class and said, Adam, what do you think about these elevation masks? You know, I'm getting ready to train for this Tough Mutter. And
you're like, elevation? If you want to get high. Sorry.
So I was explaining to him that it's kind of
elevated.
It kind of defeats the purpose too, because when you think about it, the idea of increasing your VO2 max, right? While you're constricting yourself from breathing very well, you're not going to be able to run with the same intensity that you would run breathing normal. So it's kind of like this, you may be increasing red blood cells because you're practically freaking suffocating yourself while you try and run. But then you also are not going to, let's say you're somebody gets
your performance goes way down during the exercise.
Well, so exactly. Then,
whereas you could focus more on your performance and you're going to, you know, get that much more added benefit to it and the endurance from it. And you're going to play at that speed.
Well, here, exactly.
So it's pretty dumb.
I want to see the science because red blood cells do increase when you have less oxygen in the air that you're breathing, not because you're breathing shitty. So it's like I had asthma as a kid. I don't think I had more red blood cells because I had asthma attacks.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that science transfers. I'm just telling you guys, you know, we're just talking about the theory behind it, but I don't know what the science is. Here's my hunch, okay? My hunch is that training with an elevation mask will make you better at training with an elevation mask. Okay, it won't make you better at training without it. Does that make sense?
Much like all these other tools that turn into different adaptations,
right?
That
you
have to consider.
Like you see guys in the gym. I fucking love these guys when they will grab the 5 pound dumbbells in between sets and shadow box in front of the mirror. So they're doing two things. Obviously, they're trying to show everybody how awesome they are and how stupid they are for anybody who knows how to box, because boxing with weights throws your timing off and is not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
It'll make you better at boxing with weights, but it won't make you better at boxing. Kind of like the elevation mask. I would bet money that
that's
a
great analogy.
I would bet money that it probably just makes you better at training with something over your face suffocating you. Now, that might translate into a sport like MMA.
Yes.
Where if someone's on top of you ground and pound, one of the techniques that they use is they'll put their hand over your face to suffocate you.
Right.
Or they'll choke you out. They're constricting.
Maybe. But yeah. Well, chokes aren't really. See, here's the thing about chokes. Chokes aren't. They're not. The reason why chokes are effective is not because they're blocking your air. It's because they're blocking your blood, the blood to your brain. If I block your air with a choke, you're going to last a long time. You'll sit there for 30 seconds, 40 seconds, a minute, maybe longer, and not pass out. If I block your carotid artery, 5 seconds, you're asleep.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. I actually didn't know that. I actually thought
it's not the air at all.
It's the blood that's actually.
It's the blood. I could, I could use my thumbs. If I place them right on your carotids and I push hard, you'll feel yourself start to go out right away. It has nothing to do with the oxygen. If I just sit there and crush your Adam's apple, that's pain. You might tap out to that. But in terms of not being able to breathe, you can hold your breath for a long time.
Yeah.
So what's
the actual button then, like, you know, on the jaw where you end up getting a knockout punch? Like, so if it's pinching, is it pinching a nerve?
No. So here's what happens. God, I love this question.
Yeah,
this is
great.
So first and foremost, I watched a documentary on this, and they discovered what causes people to get knocked out is the two hemispheres of the brain will twist in opposite directions. So like the left hemisphere will twist to, you know, back, and the right hemisphere will twist forward, and that causes like a short circuit and makes you go night night, go to sleep. And the chin happens to be the furthest point away from it's like a lever. Like if I hit the end of a broomstick, it's going to twist the broomstick harder than if I hit the middle. So hitting the chin, it's that long lever down from the point of the
shit. That makes a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah, so you hit the chin
into torsion, basically.
And it twists the fuck out of your head, and then you go to sleep.
Interesting.
That's why if you punch someone like square in the forehead, you'd have to hit them really hard to knock them out. But you hit someone right on
or like the back of the head, you know, too. You get that brain to hit the front.
Right. But if you hit him like right at the point of the chin, kind of like a hook, twist their head, they're probably going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
So now you know.
No shit.
Yeah. So elevation masks.
Yeah. Well, well, no, I mean, you bring
suffocate
up,
yourself.
You bring up a great point. That
Muddy
if,
buddy.
And so to Justin, that if you're training at an elite level and you've already got your cardio endurance through the roof, the treadmill speed doesn't even go up faster, you know, and you're looking at like maybe the next level, like, hey, you know what, restricting some air while you're doing that may just take you next. But to me, if you're, you know, an average in shape person who's, and by even on the upper echelon, you don't even have to be average. You're pretty damn good.
I'm not going to use a fucking mask, elevation mask.
There's so much more you can improve before you do something like that that's going to constrict it, unless you were trying to mirror something that you do in a sport like MMA, which is the only one I think any of us could really think of, or unless you're in some underwater, you know, endurance sport.
If I was trying to build endurance, you know, say for football or something, I'm doing hill sprints or I'm doing, you know, sprints on the field. So I'm getting actual texture of the field and the grass and like making cuts and everything. So it's going to be applicable to the sport what I'm doing.
Plus,
so
you'll probably do a lot of training in your pads and in your helmet.
Exactly.
Getting used to,
because you got the weight. Yeah, exactly.
Getting used to moving like that.
That's why the coaches, like good coaches, get pissed off if like you're that guy always taking his helmet off, because you're not the one, you know, you don't take your helmet off in the game. Why are you taking your helmet off every chance you get?
And that's why Justin's neck is fucking massive.
This explains everything.
I never took my helmet off. I wasn't that guy.
You just walking around the house, the helmet on your head.
Everybody.
Yeah. like a badass.
And that's why I can't remember anything.
So I think that sums up the elevation mask. I feel like we've talked really good about that. So we got to get after the squeams, and we got to talk about the belt. Those two things we have to talk about.
I love squeam. Where did that term come from? Because it's just like such a random name. And like, I know corset, you know, like how did it go from corset to waist trainer to squeam?
They had to name it something different because they couldn't call it a corset, right? Because then they wouldn't be inventing anything.
Yeah, and dudes wouldn't be like, I'm going to put on a corset. I mean, some dudes might, but most guys wouldn't. I mean, I'll wear one because it feels kind of hot. You know,
some guys say now I put on my squeam, which doesn't sound much better.
Well, okay, so
squeam. We watched, what's that?
Squeam.
50 Shades.
Oh, yeah. You watched 50 Shades of Grey?
We talked about this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. Did you watch it yet?
It reminds me of that.
The scream does?
Yeah.
There's no reason to watch 50 Shades of Grey. Don't worry about it.
Dumb.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. You're
not married. When you're married, you don't really watch porn together.
You get excited
it's a movie
over
that she
weird
wants to
things.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me your squeams. Let's hear.
So squeam, zero reason to wear one. I mean, there's really not. There is no. I could see with an elevation mask, you might get point something percent increase, and in, if you're super high elite, and or if it's helping you for MMA or whatever. Squeam, zero reason to use one. And if you use one, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're
altering your midsection and your torso in a way that it's atrophying and it's compromising your spinal integrity.
It's like putting a cast on your arm. You're going to lose muscle around that area, lose stability, set yourself
squishing
up for
the organs together, creating internal pressure that doesn't need to be there.
Well, out of not only out of the four things, the rock tape, the squeams, the elevation mask, and belt that we're about to talk about right now, not even just out of those things, but I would say out of all fitness aids that are out there, the squeam has to take the cake and the most idiotic one out of all of them.
It's pure stupid.
Absolutely. I would recommend you buy a shake weight before I recommend you buy a fucking squeam.
A shake weight is 10 trillion times more effective than a squeam.
Right.
And a shake weight has zero effectiveness. So so do the math. So what's zero
helps,
minus 10 trillion?
It helps
trillion?
The sphincter muscles, I've found.
The sphincter?
Yeah.
Yeah, if a shake weight worked, my God, I'd be yacked.
Don't you love...
So, sleep mode.
You know, the shake weight goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, though, and telling people that, you know, it's so easy for fitness professionals like ourselves to take... all three of us right now could talk about the shake weight for about the next 8 to 10 minutes and sell you on why it's great, right? Could you not put together a presentation right now and talk about the benefits that you get by
put a video together.
Well, we could even just tell the truth. Like I could say when you're shaking the weight, you're activating, you know, 30 muscles in the arm.
Yeah, the reciprocal force that's coming back is going to, you know, activate more muscle fibers.
And you're increasing your caloric burn while you're using it. And you only have to use one hand, so you could use the other hand to work. I mean, I'm telling the truth, but it's not...
You totally won't look like an idiot.
But it's not effective. Right. It's not going to really do much for you. Yeah. And a lot of times with fitness, what they do is they take a kernel of truth, a tiny, tiny kernel of truth, and they blow it out and make it into this big, huge thing so they could sell a product. For example... The whole eating frequently thing, eating every 2 or 3 hours, you have to eat every 2 or 3 hours thing. This, again, they took a kernel of truth, which is if you eat, every time you eat, you get what's called a thermic effect where your body's metabolism increases. And so they took that kernel of truth and they said, awesome, if you eat all day, you're going to have a faster metabolism all day long.
So mathematically, you're going to be processing, you know, this food and you're going to be burning X amount more calories
which is not digesting. Exactly, which is not true.
Bullshit.
The thermic effect matches the amount of food you eat, two big meals, 10 small meals all equal out the same thermic effect, same difference at the end of the day. But they took it, they spread it out, extrapolated it, turned it into this big selling point, and boom, buy my protein bar.
Newsflash, nothing that sounds cookie cutter works.
Right.
Newsflash.
There is nothing out there that's
for everybody. The human body is very complex. It has like checks and balances all the way across the board. Whether it's hormones, whether it's, you know, dealing with force,
stress levels,
all kinds of different things. Like your body is always constantly adjusting and trying to adapt and overcome the environment, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all about just how you're trying to stay ahead of that and do it in a smart way and not try to overwhelm it with things.
Well, let's get into belts now for a second. When you're wearing a belt, I think there's a fine line between using the belt for safety and then becoming dependent on the belt. When you're exercising, I personally use a belt every workout, but I only use it after I reach a certain weight in particular exercises. So I use a belt in squats once I get to 300 plus pounds. I use a belt in deadlifts once I get above 450 pounds. In front squats, I'll use it once I get about 230 to 250 pounds. And that's pretty much it. Up until I get to those weights, or if I'm doing lighter weight, I don't use a belt because I know that I'll become dependent on it. See, mm-hmm. your body's recruitment patterns change when you're wearing a belt. And I don't want those recruitment patterns to be with me all the time because I don't wear a belt. Unless I plan on wearing a belt my entire life and walking around all day long and looking like a massive, massive douchebag.
Yeah.
It's kind of like wearing a helmet driving around your car every day. That probably look pretty stupid if you're driving around. But if you were to get into a drag car and drag race at 200 miles an hour, you'd probably put a helmet on.
Yeah,
you
would put a helmet on.
Same thing goes for your body. When you're doing something super high performance like that, safety does come in there. Could you probably deadlift to 500 pounds without a belt? Absolutely, I know you could. Yeah. But it's there just in case, safety reasons. And it's also a parachute for sure. you've been deadlifting or squatting 200-400 pounds without it. So you know you've got some serious...
I make sure to do sets without the belt.
And you ramp it up.
Ramp it up. And the belt really is there because when I have, 500 pounds on the bar, and of course it's all relative, okay? You guys are listening to me right now. Some of you are saying, I'll never lift 500 pounds. But it's relative. Whatever's a really heavy weight for you.
Yeah.
Whereas you feel if your form breaks a little bit, you feel like you might hurt yourself. For me, about 450 or more on the deadlift is where I get to that point where I feel like if I'm lifting the weight and it just shifts a little bit or I'm off a little bit, or like the other day I pulled a muscle while I was trying to lift in my calf of all fucking places, you know, the belt might save me a little bit and prevent me from majorly injuring myself because I have so much weight on it. Now, that being said, there's some fucking lifters, man, I've seen out there who lift incredible amounts of weight with never wore a belt.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's even a part of me that's thinking, I'm even thinking maybe I'm not going to wear a belt for a long time just to see what happens. I don't know.
Well, I didn't wear one for a very, very long time.
I just
got my first belt. So my first belt ever I've ever owned, I've had for less than a year. And the only reason why is this is the most I've ever seen. And this is why
you're going heavy.
Yeah, I never really trained singles on squatting and deads and stuff like that. So I never felt the need to go get a belt. Like, you know, hey, now that I'm getting up there where I'm pulling 400 or 500 pounds, it's like, okay, might not be a bad idea to get a belt just in case, you know, safety reasons. I've got that little extra protection when I get up to that weight.
Now, you know, one thing people don't realize is there's a technique to wearing a belt too. Especially if you're going to wear a legit belt. By the way, if you're going to wear a belt and you're using it properly, don't get the belt that's skinny in the front and wide in the back, like you see a lot of the meathead bodybuilders wear. That is actually not giving you tons of support. The support from the belt does not come from the back of the belt. The support from a belt comes from the front.
Right, because it has to push it in.
Right, because your core, what happens when you wear a proper belt that's wide all the way around is your core pushes out against the front of the belt, and that gives you the stability in the back. If the front's skinny, you lose that.
Do you know that I used to, I remember back in the days, I actually see a guy that used to wear those Cardillo belts that you're talking about backwards. He used to have his buddy strap him in from behind, so it would tighten him down from the back. The belt would be on the backside, and the big part would be in the front.
Yep. So yeah, you want one that's thick all the way around. You need to be able to put it on pretty snugly because if it's too loose, your core is going to have to push out too far to give you that stability. A powerlifting belt's probably best, but they're stiff and they're difficult to put on, and it's going to take practice. And I know a lot of people that will try it and just not even like it because it's uncomfortable and you got to get kind of used to it to put it on. I use a cage to put my belt on. I don't even pull the belt part. I grab the cage with my belt and I twist my body away from it because I've got the technique kind of down. Otherwise, it's not going to do me that much good. So it's got to be nice and tight and nice and wide all the way around. And of course, use it on your heaviest lifts. Otherwise, don't use it all.
Well, while we're talking about a heavy lift and squatting, you know, I had another question someone was asking me about breathing technique when you squat. You ever notice a lot of powerlifters will hold their breath?
Correct.
So, you know, what is your theory and what is your thoughts on? Because obviously when you're doing a normal training, 8 to 12 reps, you teach clients to
don't hold your breath.
Yeah, don't hold your breath. You're breathing in on the negative. You're exhaling on the positive or the eccentric, concentric motion. So when you're powerlifting, you'll see people take a big, deep breath
and hold
their breath and power through.
So when you breathe in deep and then tighten and then, you know, tighten everything up and then hold your breath, is you're increasing your internal core stability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a technique that's used to increase that stability so you can lift heavier weight. Now, that only works when you're doing like one rep or two reps where you can come up to the top, take a couple breaths and do it again. If you do this on a set that's like 5, 6, 7 or more reps, you're going to pass out. The question then comes is, how do I take advantage of that while breathing? So what if I am doing a set of 14 reps? How do I take advantage of that? You know, how do I get that same similar technique, but at the same time I have to breathe? And the way
bracing
you
techniques.
Yes, you brace and you breathe with force.
Yeah.
So in yoga they teach, you know, how to breathe through the gut where you kind of breathe out and I'm sure that was annoying to listen to. But yeah, but that's what you do when you're doing your reps. So you go down, you breathe in, go down. Hold your breath as you go down. When you come out of the squat, you breathe out, but do it with force with a tight core.
Clenching.
Yes. It's like
clenching
your
whole body.
Clenching your whole body. Yeah. Like squeeze your butthole.
Exactly.
Breathe out.
Tight
and come
butthole
up.
All the way.
No joke.
Seriously,
They teach that to clench your butthole.
Silly, but it's true.
In Olympic lifting, because people have blown out their ass. I'm not even joking. They have blown out. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen it, but I have heard about it. Yeah.
Bro, the amount of force that they generate, Olympic lifters, some of the pros, that if they don't clench their assholes, like they have to be very good. If they don't do that, they will literally blow the inside of their ass out.
Everything out.
Yes.
Boom.
Little Google it. No, don't Google. No, don't Google. Don't Google. It's ugly. Whatever you do, don't Google pink sock. So anyway. Pink sock. Oh,
no.
Ooh.
No.
So how do you like your belt, Adam? Is this the one with your name on it?
No, I have not got the official one done. I'm on the loner Cardillo belt that they have right now, and I like it.
You don't wear it when you do curls and shit like all your buddies.
I actually rarely ever do wear it. For so many years I've been so used to not wearing one, and it even goes with this. I remember when I first started lifting, I had these big old bodybuilder guys that when I was like in my early 20s I used to lift with, and they were always like, if you can't hold it with your bare hands, you can't hold the weight, you can't pick it up. You know, that was their mentality. Like, get rid of those pussy ass straps. And
so let's not try and make a connection between the two there, Adam. Straps are totally different.
Yeah, but we're talking about
your buddies were right. Belts. Yeah. Your buddies were right.
So
wisdom.
So the straps, the weight belts, things like that. So I was always used to never using that, and it wasn't until I really got into doing singles and stuff that I ever even consider using any of these tools. And that to me is just kind of how I feel all the way across the board on wrist wraps, on belts, on straps. Is I get it if. You got those things there to protect you, to help you, to aid you when you are moving almost your max load. And even I know you guys ran, and I did the post on the wraps and this and that. Even that, something like that, where I get it. If you're getting ready to pull 500 something pounds, and for me, when I'm wrapped into 500 pounds, I can really concentrate on everything else that's firing properly because my grip is all there. Now, when I get pulling over 400 my grip is normally the first thing to go after a few reps. You know, after a few reps, I'm starting to feel the bar starting to slide out of my fingers. And now no longer am I mentally concentrating on firing everything else properly. I'm concentrating on holding on to that damn bar.
But so, the question is, do you feel like you earned that weight?
You know what's funny? As long as
I can rip it one time barehanded, I'm good.
Here's what I love about Mind Pump. The two non-pro physique competitors can talk crap to the 230-pound
professional.
Yeah, a guy with the 19-inch arms sitting across from me. Yeah. Before we leave, do not forget to rate and review us on iTunes. Move us up in the ratings.
Move us on
up. We found out that the more that we get reviews and stuff, that's actually what's getting us out to more people. That helps. Those of you guys that are helping us spread the Mind Pump love, that's one of the best ways you guys can do it. You can't continue to do multiple ones on the same phone or like that. So if you have to, you use your phone, then your computer, then you grab your friend's phone, you grab your mom's phone, you grab your uncle's phone and your cousin's phone, and then you call all their family and friend members and to get them to do the same thing, we should be good.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.